Blog Talk Radio. Hello there. Welcome to Insights from the Couch. I'm Karen Weary Cole, licensed marriage and family therapist, and I am so excited to be here today. I've had a lot of things going on since I was last on here, and it became time for me to regroup, refocus, and get on with my personal life and my business. I've even renamed the show from Liberate Yourself to Insights from the Couch. And you know what? That it's perfectly okay that I took a little time to regroup and refocus. As much as I want to be Superwoman and do everything I'm supposed to do in business, just so. However, I am human, and I like to take my personal experiences and then turn them into learning tools. I've also found that the more I practice what I preach in my work with my clients, the more I get to fine-tune my own relationships, and I'm better at connecting with my clients. In the past 3 years, my whole life has been turned upside down, or right side up, whichever way seems to work out. 3 years ago, I made a very difficult decision to divorce my husband, with whom I'd been for 22 years. It was such a super tough decision to make because, guess what? He's actually a really nice guy, and we have a beautiful son together who was 8 years old at the time. There were some very pertinent parts of our relationship that were not in place, and without those connections, it died. Parts of me died, hence becoming single again for the first time in 2 decades and learning how to date was a huge challenge. The wonderful thing is, with our little family, that we are great co-parents, and it has been a no-brainer for us that our son's welfare comes first and foremost. And for that, I am very grateful. So what have I learned over the last 3 years? I have learned how to take huge, frightening steps in life. I've learned that dating can be a personal development course in and of itself. I have learned how to communicate and negotiate in relationships, how to find out what my personal boundaries are, and how to set them with someone I'm seeing. And I have learned so much about how a relationship can be when it's based on open and transparent communication and based on togetherness now that I'm in a committed relationship again. Wow, that was God talking, if I should say so. Hence, this 4-part series on getting over a breakup is based not only on my professional background as a marriage and family therapist and my clinical experience working with clients for the past 20 years, it's also based on skills and techniques I've learned to use personally. Part 1 is called, Am I Going Crazy?, where we're going to talk about what is normal to experience as someone you love has broken up with you and when it's time to seek help. Part 2 is 7 things not to do after a breakup, which is about what to definitely not do after a breakup and what to do instead. You certainly can make your suffering last much longer or choose to start healing quicker. Part 3 is called The Other Side of Breaking Up, as in the person who broke up and the things they often go through. Part 4 is about healing and moving on. Yes, there is life after a breakup. Once you've dug through the crap, it can be a beautiful and amazing world out there. So let's dig into part 1, talking about what is normal to experience when it comes to breaking up. You're most likely going to experience the following emotions: hurt, anger, sadness, perhaps shock, fear. You may feel rejected, unloved, unlovable, which is a much greater and deeper level of hurt. And one of the beliefs that most people have when they've gone through a breakup is that nobody else will ever want me. This, of course, is not true. However, the brain works in mysterious ways. You often feel like a failure because why else did the other person break up with you? Here's what happens when the brain experiences something it perceives as a threat. The threat does not have to be a physical threat to your life. It may just as well be a threat to you, your ego, your personhood of who you are. When we feel rejected, a very old basic part of our biology is that we're social creatures who depend on other people to survive. We have very deep and basic needs to feel heard, validated, and cared for. Hence, when the person who is closest to us turns around and rejects us, wow, That's like being kicked out of the warm, safe, cozy cave we were in and out into the cold, hard world and having to learn how to defend ourselves and fend for ourselves again. That's why we feel as though our entire world was just turned upside down, and it can be really hard to keep on putting one foot in front of the other. Our brain is going through the same symptoms that we go through when we experience trauma, because this is indeed a form of trauma. We have a hard time sleeping, we ruminate on particular topics, running scenarios in our head from the past, trying to make sense of what happened and why it didn't work out. What specifically did you say and do that made the whole relationship turn south? You may go through revenge scenarios in your head or wonder how will things be in the future, such as running into your former life partner and seeing them with a new love interest. Ouch! How will you handle that? You're essentially going through a grieving period. You're grieving not only the fact that you no longer have your life partner with you. You're grieving the past you shared together. You're grieving the future you planned together. You've lost your financial partner, your sex partner, your co-parent if you have kids together, your house helper. It's a lot to take in. Now, if your partner on top of everything else has a history of being toxic or abusive, you add another layer of history that causes you to doubt yourself, and in general, it feels as though you don't have any worth, even more so than otherwise. That's a deeper wound, in fact, trauma that needs healing. It can be difficult to function in our daily routines. Work becomes more challenging. Parenting is more difficult because we have less patience. We're focused on our own wounds, not on paying attention to our kids. Now remember, just because you're in the same house or even the same room as your children, that's not the same as connecting with them and being with them. If you're wrapped up in your own drama, it's very easy to not pay any attention to what your child needs or is experiencing. No matter what you're feeling or going through, they're going through it as well. It's a good idea to pay attention to where your thoughts are when you're with your kids. If you're thinking about your ex when you're with them, then you're not focusing on your kid. Mentally, you're gone. Therefore, it's just as it's important for you to take time to yourself and allow you to grieve and process what you're going through, so it's important to take time to focus on your child. It can be something as simple as sitting down after school over a cup of tea and talking about what they think about what's going on in their life. It's also a good way to give yourself a well-deserved break from focusing on your aching heart. A lot of what's going to help you is to strike a balancing act as much as possible. Allow yourself time to grieve, cry, write, talk, ache and hurt, and then make sure that you spend the majority of your time doing something that's constructive and distracting. We'll get more into what to do to move on and help process the grief and pain next week. However, a few things to start off with are to get out and move your body. Walk, bike, run. These are terrific ways of burning off energy that's lurking around in your body. The mental tiredness that you get from grieving does not usually translate into good bedtime sleep. On the contrary, hence, getting yourself tired out by participating in physical activity, plus being out in nature with no other stimulation from media, and connecting with nature is a perfect place to let your thoughts run off as they will tame you as you move on down the path. You will help your brain increase endorphins, which make you feel good about yourself, and run off the cortisol, stress hormone, that's being shot out throughout your brain from the fight-or-flight reaction that your brain's in. Writing and talking with a friend are other excellent ways of getting through the initial pain. We're storytellers, and it's our way of helping to make sense of something that's difficult to make sense of. Make sure that you don't only talk with your friends about your ex, unless they're people you don't want to continue to have as friends. It may be time to seek the help of a therapist if you continue to have problems functioning at work. You have trouble thinking about anything other than your ex. If you have problems sleeping, and if you find yourself not enjoying activities you used to enjoy, if you find yourself isolating and shutting other people out of your life, there are some symptoms of depression and While it's normal to react to a challenging life event in a manner of needing to shut down and heal for a while, there is a time where you need to engage in life. When you disengage from life, you prolong the pain. Now, what can a therapist do for you that a friend cannot do for you, you may ask? There are several reasons why a therapist can help tremendously. One, a therapist is not emotionally involved in the relationship, so he or she does not have an agenda when they talk with you other than helping you get better. Two, a therapist has been through years of formal and clinical training, so they know how to guide you through the muck and give you tools that will help you heal, as long as you use the tools that you're being given. There are many different kinds of therapy that a therapist may use depending on their particular training, mindset, and experience. The only thing that matters is that you're getting better and that you and your therapist are a good match. Four, you have more accountability with a therapist than a friend, as a friend will often let things slide because they're your friend. A therapist is there to do the job of holding you accountable. It's amazing what we can get done when we're held accountable to something. That's a little on the topic of, am I going crazy? Next week, we'll be talking about 7 things not to do after a breakup. Thank you for listening in today, and I look forward to connecting with you next week.